Wait now.
Good enough for me.
Hello, everybody. So this is Troy. Wow, the silence.
Wei Ming.
Daniel.
And I'm Delphon.
Hi. So here we have our special guest speaker, Delphon.
Yeah, good to be here, man.
So anyway, let's start this up and all by talking about a few different topics and all. Firstly, let's talk about the new potential release of the MacBook Pros. Yep. Wow.
You are supposed to start this now.
Okay, so
I mean, it's your topic.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, and all, I've been reading up some news and obviously YouTube and random stuff and all. New MacBook Pros that coming out in the late third quarter of this year. 14-inch and 16-inch, obviously, you will have a lot of major differences as compared to like the past. I think one of the few things that most of us are excited about is, well, having our I/O ports back.
Yeah, definitely for sure, man. For the current MacBooks, especially the new M1 MacBooks, you only have two Thunderbolt 3 ports, which is like, Thunderbolt 3 or Thunderbolt 4? Thunderbolt 4.
Yeah. I remember.
So it's like there's only two ports and it's very hard to work with. It's like dongle life, man.
Yeah, and I think like the biggest struggle that most of the people who are using these few MacBooks and all is like obviously dongles and all, you have to bring around additional accessory just so that you'll be able to use like either your mouse or like be able to plug in like SD cards as well as like other accessories and all. Like it's kind of mundane, isn't it? For sure. Yikes. But thankfully and all, like with this new different ports and all, obviously, like there'll be like your generic USBs. From what I've read and all that, they'll be having a USB 4, like potentially something that's faster when it comes to transfer speeds, when it comes to like processing and such. Your 3.5mm jack, obviously that'll be great.
Mm.
And SD card slots.
I mean, 3.5mm jack has always been there.
Yeah.
But I don't know about normal USB ports though, because like from the past till now, the only ones that have it is like all the way back to like, was it 2015? That's where they had all the normal USB A ports.
Mm.
No, those are back then, but I think they will still stick with type C, but obviously they still want to have additional ports, but I really don't feel like you have type A back. But
yeah, from what I saw from like potential like pictures of what the Macs could look like, and all is that they actually have both type C as well as type A.
I mean, that would be good, but at the same time, if you add a USB A port, how are you going to make the chassis that slim?
That is true.
Right. Which means that they will actually have to increase the thickness of the MacBook. And I'm pretty sure that's not ideal for what they are planning towards.
Mm.
I mean, it all comes down to sacrifices. If people are willing to sacrifice knowing that they're going to get back a USB-A, then they might sacrifice it. But then I know a lot of people are going to argue that Apple is just moving backwards now. Because a lot of people know, even though if they don't agree, right, USB-A will be gone soon.
Mm.
Everything was slowly transitioned to USB-C, at least. So for them to put on a USB-A might make it redundant, obsolete in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And knowing a lot of people who own Mac, they own it for an average of about 5 years, 5 years plus. So maybe it's useful now, but 3 years down the road, everything's going to change to USB-C. And then that port is just going to take up space and they're going to find it redundant
So I think for the type A port is more of a very big speculation, but I think from what the sources are, it's definitely they are going to include back at least an SD card reader, which is actually very good, because most of the time, especially when we're doing, and it has always been moving towards a prosumer kind of use case scenario where you do a lot of file editing and all this kind of stuff, right? And having a proper SD card, even if it's like a micro SD card, I think, you know, some people are moving towards that direction, but I think a full size SD card would make much more sense, honestly.
Especially when it comes to like most of us who are working more towards like creative and media side and all. like SD cards has always been a staple for most of us. Cameras, like even with like newer like storage cards and all, like with like CFast cards or like the newer what?
I mean that one confirm use adapter one.
And they like also introducing back the MagSafe.
Yeah,
the MagSafe, don't forget about it. But yeah. Where they can MagSafe, they actually cooperate with the Type C charging to make the charging much faster to be able to handle all this kind of media creative that take up high consumption on the
I mean last time when the MacBook 2016 came out where they first introduced USB Type C, a lot of companies already scrambled out to make USB Type C MagSafe chargers. But then that means technically you have an extra dongle that you have to stick to your computer so that you're able to
run
two
wire at once.
It was a very quick solution, but it wasn't a foolproof solution. A lot of people didn't want to take up one USB port just so that they can only charge. And with the smaller MacBooks like your 13-inch, you only have two USB Type C's.
Let me give you an Indiegogo idea. You convert two of the Thunderbolt 4, right? Then it's using, in a sense, like a new MagSafe connection. Then it's a whole dongle plate out.
So, like a MagSafe with Type-C.
Yeah, then it's like the whole dongle. No, it's like, imagine if you have like the MagSafe, right? In a sense, like people try to recreate the MagSafe. So, it's like two the Type-C connecting into like a MagSafe kind of connector. After that, you have like a magnetic dongle that
you
just...
How thick would a wire be then? You can't even handle like, two Type-C wire.
I mean, possibly can, but you have to think like a magnet, already like the dongles that I currently use, like the one similar to hyperdrive.
Right? Yeah.
It's like you put in, you're already damn scared to pull off things in, because if that thing breaks, the cost to just take out the pins out of the computer and the cost to just replace another dongle is really expensive. So
that's why it's good that if the rumors are true where they're gonna bring back MagSafe, right? It's actually really good considering that
the power intake you can take.
Yeah.
And how much you can push your device.
And it's mostly just of the safety feature.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of people just say that they want the MagSafe just because it's safer. They can kick the wire and they don't have to worry about their computers flying.
There's a reason why people still use the goddamn old gen MacBook Pros until now, you know.
I mean, and also because knowing Apple, they still run flawlessly.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't see a need to upgrade because the computers are still running fine.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe with the introduction of this MagSafe, maybe more of the old MacBook runner want to upgrade
and invest in the new MacBook. And what they speculate and all right, is that this MagSafe will have better charging speed and such as compared to like the USB-Cs that we have on the current recent few MacBooks and all. So obviously that will be more idealistic. Be something to look forward to, and obviously everybody loves the MagSafe and all.
Is something that I wish Apple would bring back, but I know a lot of people may agree with me, and a lot of people would just think it's dumb. I want Apple to bring back the light up Apple logo in the back of the
aesthetics, man.
It's aesthetic, right?
Yes, it is aesthetic, but I feel like how to say it's one of those like quirks. It's one of those quirks and selling points of a MacBook where when you open it, it just lights up. Yes, a lot of people say, but it drains battery, but I mean it's like an LED. Dude. LED is so energy efficient that it won't. And I mean, if at most just come up with a software where you can decide to turn it on and turn it off.
I think the main reason why they removed it is because of them trying to make a slimmer form factor. Because back then the chassis were kind of thick, so they still can afford to put it in. But right now, because when you want to go on a design perspective and make things a lot slimmer and lighter, right? Definitely there would be this kind of sacrifices.
Okay, but how about this and all? What would we consider and all as like something that could be useful with that potential light up and all? What about like something like
Where's RGB?
I mean so coming back to RGB and all, why not something relating to like talking about the battery life, like something like all? When it's full and all, maybe it shows green. When it's empty, it shows red and so on and so forth.
Right. But I think the reason why maybe Apple hasn't gone into RGB yet is because it's sort of, it's too much for a Mac. A MacBook is supposed to be business oriented. Yeah. You're supposed to look professional with it.
Yeah.
If you had a MacBook where you had RGB keyboards, are you here for business? Like kind of thing. Like how I say, even though a lot of people agree that Windows computer, like let's say like Razer or MSI, definitely has better performance overall compared to a MacBook. But why don't you see people, and cheaper as well, why don't you see people using it? Because it's not professional. You don't want to come up into a meeting and have the an MSI gaming computer or a Razer gaming computer.
No, imagine a scenario in a meeting where a room is dark. Yeah, somebody open your MacBook. RGB coming out.
Yeah, it's like kind of party time. It's like people are gonna say, oh, this guy confirms still games at home.
On a MacBook.
Wow. People actually try to game on the new M1 MacBook.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's stupid.
Yeah, but speaking about gaming, right? Why not with the current new MacBook? They're upgrading their processor.
Oh yeah. So the current MacBooks and all that we have so far have this M1 processor chips.
Yeah.
And what they are speculating is that there will be an M1X or M2. Not really confirmed when it comes to names, but yeah, I think, yeah, obviously with the current MacBooks and all, the current new MacBooks, the M1s, yeah, everything has been so great and all. Being able to edit and do like After Effects, all this kind of stuff on a MacBook Air, something that you never thought you'd be able to say. What's there to hope for? But something even more, something better processing and all. Obviously the MacBook Pros that are going to come, hopefully will be able to integrate like better GPUs so that when it comes to like After Effects and such, you know, you'll be more
idealistic. 16-bit 32-core
Yeah, GPU. The 16-bit 32-core. But I think the only issue comes down with, because as much as what it is right now, right, it's still running ARM architecture and it doesn't work well with external GPUs that yet. So it means if they want to have this as a possibility, instead of running based on their own integrated graphics, right, they will definitely have to find a resolution for it. And till now, there is still no proper resolution of running a proper external GPU.
Mm.
And this is something that needs to be resolved.
But the only way to resolve this thing is to either redesign the entire GPU concept. We will enter into a new era of technology.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
it's not an easy fit.
Honestly, to see ARM actually coming into laptops, right, it's actually a very big leap already. Because we have all seen Microsoft try to do it for the longest of time, and it's absolutely crap. Like, they've been doing it, they've been trying to do it for almost like 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, there are more errors than accomplishment.
It's like, they wanted to push the ideology of, you know, running ARM and having basically very good power efficiency, running on very good speeds and even comparable to what like Intel or Ryzen is nowadays. But honestly, they haven't achieved much out of these 4 to 5 years. Then Apple come in with the MacBook and kind of like just killed the whole market.
Like, nope, all you are wasting your effort. Let me do the I'm coming. I'm doing it.
To be fair and all, like, I mean,
Apple came in the market slower than Windows.
Mm.
So, but they did so
but
much.
They did so much fits in the technology part.
And that does put a lot of pressure on Microsoft and Intel, all this.
Other company will have more stress.
It comes to like a point whereby like even people like me who has been using Windows for so many years and all, I'm considering getting like a MacBook mainly because of how efficient it's going to be for like my editing, for my visual effects and such. And like when the news came out for the M1 MacBooks and all, right, saying that MacBook Air can do all the high grade editing and all that normally a MacBook Pro would struggle with. That is such a big selling point for me.
Not to mention the security part.
Yeah.
It's higher than Windows. Windows, anything you screw up in terms of the security, the data is at risk. But then if you go for Apple, the security will go more stronger.
Yeah, I mean, stronger to a certain extent.
And less of money. Because they have a cloud subscription. Which is their selling point at the same time.
That's true. Honestly, I think that Apple is going down a very strong path, especially in terms of
giving a new pathway.
It's like a leap forward, especially. Then right now,
despite them coming so late, jump right into the main point.
Talking about leaps and all, well, one thing that I feel that it's about time that they did and all is the bezel-less screens. Yeah.
They did technically do it on it. They did have a 16-inch MacBook, right?
They do. The 16-inch that came out in 2019.
Yeah.
14 is coming out this year.
Yeah.
The 14-1 is coming out this year, but they did come out with a few 16. The 16, I think the first one came out like 2012, 2013. And then now only recently the 16-inch for the 2019 MacBook, they had the 16-inch model.
And I think, yeah, la, I mean, everybody wants a bigger screen, you know, having better display, higher brightness and all this kind of stuff. Then you can watch HDR content. I don't know who in the world still watch HDR content. Like, I mean,
Retina is the way to go.
Still bothers to look at HDR content.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, that time when I had my Note 8 and it was the first phone that I had that was HDR 10 compatible, I go on YouTube, I type out HDR video. Pressy looked at it for like the first 10 seconds. Wow, so nice. Closed it, went back to normal YouTube.
It's like how right now Netflix is also trying to push for HDR, like HDR content and whatsoever. But honestly, the main use case is mostly on the TVs. On HDR, it makes sense on the TVs. But then editing on HDR is another shit. That thing just eats so
and so much space is.
And surprisingly, the M1 handles it quite well. I was playing around with it, and I was like, "Ooh."
Yeah. So you know, and now we're not actually recording on Raving's M1 MacBook today because somebody left the shop.
Hey.
I wonder why.
Instead, we are recording on my computer, which is a 2017. MacBook Pro 15-inch, and it was in a sense the highest spec. The highest spec you can get at a shop. You could spec it higher, like with a faster CPU and higher SSD.
Yeah.
But that one you need to do it online will ship it to shop, which for me is no use. I already spent at the shop that time. Wayne followed me. Dropped down already. This computer cost me about almost 4K.
Let's not forget, they are finally removing the touch bar.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
The touch bar, I'm on the fence on.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy it and don't enjoy it at the same time. Like, it's easy to get around with controls and everything. But the only flaw of it is that, right, it doesn't have palm rejection. So sometimes when you're typing on stuff, then you actually press onto the touch bar, it starts doing shit.
Like resting your palm and you just.
But the touch bar is on the top. Like, you only might accidentally touch it if you're trying to numbers. That's the only time you may accidentally touch it. Other than that, I have never really accidentally touched my touch bar. Only like maybe when I'm trying to get the numbers really quickly on the top, maybe once in a while I would accidentally press something, but it's mostly like maybe the volume or the brightness, and that one doesn't change instantly. Like, you have to press it and you have to choose afterwards.
Yeah, I'm still like, I think mainly because like, I come from like, since I mainly only use Windows and all, like I've never really enjoyed like touch bar, kind of like the concept of the touch bar and all. Like, sure, it was an interesting concept, but like, I guess like not everybody truly enjoy it and all. And obviously having physical keys and all reduces the risk of like accidental touch, as well as like having like proper, like, okay, if I want to like increase the volume, increase the brightness and all, I have like physical keys that I know where and what to do accordingly. Whereas the touch bar and all is like, yeah, you have so and so, but then you still potentially risk like bad, like touching on the wrong keys by accident and all. If you're like me, like fat fingers and such. I didn't like it.
I mean, the touch bar is kind of like, I mean, a lot of people didn't like it because like the lack of functionalities that really comes with the touch bar makes it kind of redundant. So it ends up like a lot of people actually don't use it. It's like, no, may work, may not work. But I guess a lot of people would rather not have it and rather have physical keys. Like. Yeah.
What's your opinion on like the mini LED? Like, from what I've been reading and all, is that they are potentially changing the screen to have like mini LEDs.
So far, the only mini LED monitor that I've seen is from Asus, I think.
Yeah.
Asus that Linus reviewed. And holy shit, that thing is thick. It's a thick ass motherfucking monitor. It was like, damn, dude, it's like they just went back in time to get a bigger monitor. But that was because it was the only way at that time when Linus reviewed it, yeah, that they could fit mini LEDs as well as like, I don't know, like HDR and Dolby Vision inside of it.
There was one mini LED laptop that was actually made last year, which was the MSI Creator 17. Yeah, that was actually quite thin.
But then, but...
I mean, honestly, mini LED is just that it allows more color accuracy, it allows the screen to be brighter and more power efficient.
Then honestly, I think for me, if I had the choice, I'll still stick with OLED for the moment. I do like my true blacks.
Because with
LED, you won't have true blacks.
Mm.
But the benefit of it, of mini LEDs, is you get local dimming.
Mm.
So that means like instead of like, I say, individual pixels can dim so that you technically have better video.
You basically get a lot way brighter screen. That's the pros of having mini LED.
Yeah, OLED, you can only go so bright. But I think I'll still stick with OLED because I still haven't found an issue with OLED yet. And like I said, I do like my true blacks. Like, at least I know whenever I have a dark screen or whatever, right, it's actually saving my battery. Especially with all of this dark mode, and now you can change YouTube into dark mode, so it saves you a little bit of battery here and there. And I mean,
which is nice, which is definitely nice for sure. That's pretty much it for the MacBook, the new potential MacBook 2021.
I think
just a little like note. We've been recording for about 20 minutes, and I'm down 20%.
Oh, okay.
20%.
Okay. So anyway, let's talk about the next topic.
Oh yeah, because Xiaomi recently just launched their new air charger. it is an interesting concept, but honestly, like, how do you guys feel like having it, like, you know, using it in a real life case scenario? Because from what it states is that, I mean, it only does like 5-watt remote charging. What is it called? It's called the Xiaomi Air Charge, the Mi Air Charge. So like, the good thing is that, yeah, you kind of like can walk around, charge your phone, you don't even care about it. It's like, how funny is this? It said, future living rooms will be fully wireless. You just put a big ass freaking...
No, and it's big. Yeah, it's like, it's like...
It's like Xiaomi's air purifier.
No, it's like something like air purifier, but you know nowadays when you buy soundbars, they come with an external subwoofer.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same size as a subwoofer. So it's not small by any means. It is big.
Mm. So imagine if they can up the voltage of it, then considering you can remove all the power out.
I mean, okay, in a sense, like, if you can increase in a sense where you can charge your computer wirelessly, even though right now you cannot, but let's say in the future, like MacBooks, you have two different charging outlets. You have a 62 watt and you have an 85 watt charger. Mm. If they can make it strong enough where I can wirelessly charge my computer at, let's say, 60 watts, I think that'd be pretty fucking whoopee.
I think that is way towards the future.
Imagine you come to the room. Welcome to my room. Let me charge your laptop for you. What?
Is your phone charged?
It's a very nice
proof of concept, I guess. Because there is a lot of companies in the past that have been trying to do it. But it's either through adapters or whatever.
Yeah, they still have some form of wire. Right?
Yeah, there's still like some form of wire that's connecting. So that begs the question, where would this actually work on all the phones that has wireless charging, right? Is it using the same technology that's actually allowing all phones to work? Or is it specifically that only Xiaomi phones will actually work on it?
Wireless charging is all standard around the world. It all uses Qi wireless charging. Yeah. Even Apple uses Qi wireless charging. So unless they decide where Xiaomi's are gonna get go against norm and get a proprietary wireless charging, then they literally just cut their market by more than half. That means only 20% of people is able to use it. Because nobody really uses Xiaomi.
Mm. Especially with people who uses iPhones specifically, maybe Android might potentially want to collaborate and such, but I think iPhone might, iPhones and Apple.
Okay, stuff. I mean, reading from this article, right, the maximum output you can get from this this Mi Air Charger is 5 watts.
Yeah, it's not meant to be a proof of concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
maybe improve in the future.
Yeah.
But 5 watts, you imagine, if really they do roll this out at the moment with 5 watts of charging, wireless charging. Nowadays phone you're gonna look at a very long time. At best, you can probably just maintain a charge.
No. Maintain a charge in 5 watts.
5 watts is you can still charge it, but it's like if you do not touch your phone at all. Yeah. The moment you use your phone and charge it at the same time, it's only gonna slow down how fast your battery.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
But let's say if this is actually a mass market kind of production, right? And you have it in like shopping malls that is fully decked out.
How big the reader is gonna cover?
Like you have like in the future they'll scale down and it can be like bigger.
Or maybe like a charging bay.
Yeah.
Okay, then you can charge your phone.
So the whole shopping mall is like fitted with that, right? Then you walk around, your phone is just in your pocket, you're having lunch.
You know, nowadays the mall they're having adopting your free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Imagine they're having adopting 5G Wi-Fi. And then after that, you adopt this kind of wireless charging. Oh, how much radio action is it gonna be?
Oh yeah, that's
true.
Let's not say all like these conspiracy theories. But there's already a lot of news. That time when they first announced 5G, how many people are protesting that 5G are harmful rays? Once they realize that you can charge your phone wirelessly, like a legit wirelessly, no need to even touch on a pair.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people are just gonna freak out. 5G. Radiation waves that emit like
electricity. 5 kilowatts flying through your body.
I think a lot of people would definitely be skeptical to have this.
I mean,
and
like,
I'm guessing this is gonna be very, very expensive.
And you see Singapore having 5G now, right? But it's not actual 5G. The actual 5G are running on millimeter waves.
Yeah.
And that is only in certain states at the moment. That's why if you actually see like the iPhones that we have, like for the iPhone 12s that you have right now, right, it doesn't come with the millimeter wave antenna. Singapore's technology haven't always been the fastest to catch up to.
Yeah, like, but haven't Singtel been trying with the 5G garage?
Yeah. But it's
they've been trying to play around with 5G technology, trying to adopt it as consumer.
I mean, it's good that they're trying to push it towards that, but then it also comes with a lot of people's thoughts and repercussions of how much damage that it can actually affect a person.
Yeah.
You know, like, the radio.
Maybe next time the fashion industry gonna come out with an anti-radio suit or shirt.
Then in that case, then you might as well just don't make it anymore. Because if you have to start wearing protective equipment just so that you can use your phone to go on Instagram, like what the hell?
I mean, imagine they can adopt kind of protective equipment into your daily consume.
But then,
like, imagine your shirt coming back.
Then that might just increase the price by like.
Bro, in the market, there's this. I think it's more of like a scam kind of companies that sells you like this patch that you can put on a shirt that blows off.
Okay. I'm not trying to talk shit about one of our friends, but. You all know Zhe Yi, right?
Mm.
The roller skaters.
Yeah.
She, I don't know if you all see, but she did advertise on the story about those stickers that you put at the back of the phone to stop radioactive waves from harming you or something. So it's sort of like
it's
the same thing.
Too futuristic to be true.
Not in current technology,
yeah.
But it also kind of defeats the purpose. If let's say if you have a patch, right, that blocks it, right? How are you gonna use your phone? Right?
Essentially, how you gonna get
reception?
Linus just released a video a couple of days ago about this box that you can put your Wi-Fi router in there. To stop
it's the mesh thing.
Yeah.
So you put yourself, cover yourself in there, walk into the airbase, and
it's not that.
Block all the radio.
It's actually like this box mesh that you put your Wi-Fi router in there to stop harmful rays from going up. But then Linus made it. It's like. But all the rays coming out of a Wi-Fi router is for Wi-Fi. If you block it, how the hell are you going to get a Wi-Fi? And then later they found out.
A Faraday cage.
Then he tested it out. A Faraday cage looks exactly like those things you see in office where you put papers inside.
You know those paper trays right there? So it's just like metal grills.
And it's expensive.
No, but you can literally go to like Popular and buy yourself one, you know.
It's expensive. One small cage for the smallest version was $76 for the small one. And it's just, and the cage was like, it was like super shit.
It was the cheapest content. It literally looks like you can go Popular, buy it like.
You can. It looks like something that you can just buy off Popular, honestly.
They just cut holes, then afterwards, then just create a metal band, bend it down, and just encase.
Maybe you just like add a little hook and like maybe some like trees and all. Maybe you can catch some rats as well.
maybe.
If we talk about radiation, if like,
I mean, as technology grows stronger, there will be more exposure to this kind of high radioactive, because you need more radio waves to be transmitted at the same time to make emission more higher. But at the same time, it causes your health because it's passing through your health. It's a pros and cons of how fast technology will grow, but at the same time, we are also lagging back in terms of how to protect ourselves from this kind of radioactive waves. That's moving around in all these kind of places, your malls, your room, your house, even your toilet. Let's be honest, everybody bring their food to their toilet.
Hi, I'm shitting and I'm still getting radioactive.
Yeah, imagine, how also would it be, imagine you're in the toilet and then your food ran out of battery. And then you've got this wireless charging that you can be in your toilet and you can charge your phone at the same time while you're reading. And doing your business.
No,
that's a wonderful concept, but at the same time, at what cost? Your health.
No, but then here's the thing. A lot of people, including myself, do not like to overcharge our phones overnight. So if you have a wireless thing, no matter if you want to charge, you don't want to charge, you'll still charge.
Yeah,
it's a convenience thing, you know.
So that people say,
you said off the power after that. Yeah.
Or you have to go outside of the radio.
This place, I'm not going to charge.
That's why, there's a lot of phones nowadays where they, on software side, where they actually cut off the power once you reach until a certain extent, or they will actually slow down.
But wouldn't
the
charging. Be adding extra module to your convenient, lightweighted food.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like, if you think about it, a lot of the things that make your life convenient,
creating some trouble elsewhere.
It sort of adds inconvenience into it. You know, it's like your phone is there. It's your phone is there to make your life very convenient. But then, as I say that, you think about it, there's a lot of things you have to do to the phone to make your life convenient. And it only makes it marginally convenient.
And don't forget, Xiaomi has already started working on 80 watt wireless charging. Yeah, 80 watt, right? I'll just put that in 1 hour later. Yeah,
your phone's charged. Your phone's charged.
Everybody's phone's charged.
If you want to run out, you have to run out of the room, you don't start charging your phone.
It's like, I put my phone here, I go toilet, come back, full already. Oh, sure.
Imagine your phone is just like an old kind of phone, and it doesn't have this kind of safety power cartridge, and then your phone just charging there, and then just overcharge, and your phone's becoming very, very hot, microwave.
I mean, there's definitely limitations to how much the phone can intake.
They also consider the fact that some phone are outdated. Imagine your grandparent using this kind of Nokia.
Hi, I have a Nokia 3310. Can I wirelessly charge this?
I mean,
create a wireless connector pad just to charge your 3310.
Every time they are developing on that, they also need to consider that some elderlies are not able to handle this kind of thing.
Yeah, especially with their age and all with that.
And some people who are dealing with, no offense, cancer, we might be more contagious. Imagine spreading those kind of cancerous radio waves.
Contagious. You mean more reactive?
Right.
What if instead of the MacBook, the new MacBook, instead of the magnetic MagSafe, it becomes a wireless charging pad? That's 80 watt wireless charging. You just put your MacBook there.
Yeah, then you're gonna touch the table. Oh my god, why so hot? you put your coffee on the table, it's gonna start boiling.
Hi, you need an induction cooker, just put it over here.
Yeah, or those coffee warmers, those pads to keep your coffee warm. 66%.
Not so bad.
Is there a wireless charging?
I thought your MacBook's
wireless. Yeah, this table wireless charging.
Wireless charging.
Totally
made of marble and stone. Wow.
Never know. Maybe there's one wireless pad down there.
Who knows? They just create how they on the iPhone top. They actually cut a hole then put glass over so that becomes a wireless charging pad.
Let's put it as a one-sided
mirror. Oh, no. Wireless charging pad, right? Then on the top, right? Then still got wireless charging coils. Then you put your phone there to charge.
How much are you going to overcharge your laptop?
Charge your laptop, then after that it passes through to your phone. You know, the extra convenience.
That's almost impossible that you have your laptop going at 0%. You're going to be 100% no matter which way.
A lot of phones are like Samsung has those reverse wireless charging.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can charge somebody else's phone using your phone.
Oh yeah, I've personally tried that before.
And then it's like the thing, if you want to charge somebody's phone, you both cannot use your phone.
Yeah, okay?
unless you
hey bro, okay, let me
no, the fact that that time that I tried it with my friend Samsung, and then apparently make my phone very, very hot.
Yeah,
and imagine calling someone with someone else on the opposite side, hello, where are you? I'm at level 6, and then your phone is just there beside.
I mean, the main point that they wanted to do that is more of to charge accessories. It's not meant to charge phones. This kind of
desperate measure comes Desperate
to be fair, because I have the Galaxy Bud.
Do you use it?
Plus, not butt plugs, but okay, I did try it once and all. It's not actually as efficient.
It's not very efficient. Yeah, slow.
It's very slow and like it was because of
5% from my Samsung to iPhone. I tried it before with my
friends. I tried with my wireless earpiece and it didn't really do much and all. Like for me and all, because the situation was just all my earpiece died and all, and just wanted to charge it. My portable is not really working that well.
The purpose of accessories that it can be used. So,
and like, let's not talk about like phone-to-phone charging and all, just phone to like accessory and all. It's like, now you have an additional thing that you need to hold on to just so that you can charge it, and you have to position it at such a specific area.
Yeah.
It's not convenient.
And then I tried my friend's phone, I put it diagonally. I did it. So it's like a plus sign. You know, like,
so
like,
one person watching video, the other one continue using the phone.
Yeah, so I had to put it like a cross.
Nah, just buy 3M tape over there. Nah, hey, your phone charging.
3M tape is going to melt, man.
Let's not even like talk about melting and all that. Having the additional like bug and all, just putting it in your pocket and all. Like, hey, I'm going to charge my wireless earpiece and all to my phone. Let me put it in my pocket. Oh my god, it's taking so much space.
Yeah, I imagine the amount of convenience brought in. It seems like it's also brought in inconvenience.
It was a nice concept, but
When you actually practically use it, like, this is troublesome.
And being a person who does use his phone very frequently and all, I can't exactly like use my phone and have to hold something else just so that I can charge it. Like if I'm not using my phone frequently and all, and I'm just doing that, sure. But in that case, I'll be at home. I'll already be charging it with like a proper cable and such. So pointless.
Yeah, precisely. Also, we're talking about the radius, but imagine you're just like one in the room, and then imagine your house is like 66 radius from the place of charge, and that's not your house is 67. So at the window there, you can't charge the phone. You just have to hide in the corner there. If you want to charge the phone, you're like,
or imagine the toilet, it's like you sit down, and then you're out of there.
So you see, it's charging.
You're on your sound, and then you just.
Then imagine if you want to use the phone in the toilet, you sit down in the toilet, then you have to
charging. Charging.
Can make a beat out.
Wait, 5%, 5%. I'll use my phone.
I need to read the last page off. I need to stretch it. And then something dark happens. You miss the
power outage.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a really nice proof of concept, but
practical,
it's
not as efficient as we were hoping it would be, for sure.
There will be many factors to consider, the convenience factor. And even if they put it like wireless, then what's going to charge the wireless thing? It's still going to be a wire. So no matter how it's going to have that one wire.
In the future, they're going to have wireless plugs. You just plug it into the wall and wirelessly transmit all the
power. They have the house renovation where they can just plug in the plug.
It's a power strip, that one. Then you can just take out, you can just move it across the. It's quite a cool thing.
It's
very expensive, but I mean, it looks cool.
You plug it, make your whole ceiling just a row of power sockets so that you can just.
You can bring it around,
Very modular,
It's just a whole power strip that runs throughout your house. Then you're like, I need to charge for using the toilet.
Imagine you're at a floor and you just have to pull it. like your pet, and then
like your pet. What?
like a kite, drag along. Imagine you're like your phone left 5%, just trying to charge it, and then pull it out of the outage. From the kitchen to the room.
Oh wow.
Very modular indeed.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be plugged and they just pull it out in the future.
Magnet. Technically, you can actually plug it and start running to the room. you just plug it up, shorter run to the room and just pinch it there. Like, okay, 1%, I saved my phone. That's a good choice, though.
I think the air charger is interesting for sure.
It'll be interesting if it's actually.
It's just, I guess, people still have a lot of worries when it comes to wireless charging.
The debates of health issue,
And like how certain are we that we will reach a stage in life and all that maybe we'll be protected enough from this and all, like maybe in the foreseeable future, but as of now,
Radiation pads.
Put it on your phone.
Imagine your house or your HD. Imagine the HDB you stay and the government said build one big chunk of like the air charger. And then you just your house, you just air house, you don't need have any power, just lay back at your sofa with that super 85 kilowatt on you. Imagine the charge of sofa also. Imagine some people have electric sofa. You don't even need wire, you just then you put receiver
in your sofa. Your TVs, your speakers, even speakers need so much power. Imagine if it's enough
to. But that will make it hard for them to decide how much to charge a person house. Maybe some households charge like e-scooter, like 5 e-scooter.
5 e-scooter.
5 e-scooter.
Whose house are planning to blow up? That's about the price one.
We have a brief moment of pause for some
camera technologies
discussions.
I mean, why not? Take a
look. our homemade interlude music.
Who needs elevator music when you have our voices? Subscribe
to copyright free. Copyright free.
Copyright free music.
From our voices, la la la. please refrain your ears and not waving. Singing is very bad, so.
Hey, put it on a loop. Hey.
Oh my god.
Okay, I think that's all
that's pretty
for
much
today.
It.
Yes.
We have good topics. So.
Yes. And with that, we have your wonderful guest.
Definitely wonderful indeed. Anyway, so I think we're pretty much done for today.
All right. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And don't forget to PPP.
Everyone say the name of the podcast.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, this is Troy.
This is Wei Ming.
This is Daniel.
And I'm Delphon.
This is Patil Park Podcast. And remember,
to PPP. 3, 2, 1.